Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. And for the next 30 minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay tuned. It's going to be 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education, and never any manipulation. Because we don't try to con people into doing anything. We don't need to try to get you to join up. We're not trying to have you fess up. We're not trying to ask you to give it up. We are just here for one thing, to give you accurate information, information that hopefully will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. You know the drill. You know that if you can do that, you can orient and adjust to the plan anytime you wish. It's up to you. It's your life. It's your decisions. No one can live it for you. But you can always count on one thing. Whenever this show is on the air, you're going to get accurate information. You're not going to get any human speculation, not useless human speculation, but accurate information from biblical documentation. That's right. From the Bible, from the Word of God. And we're not going to make anything up. We're just going to tell you what it says from the original languages. Give you the principles and the concepts that God has provided so that you can live this incredible life called the Christian life. It's a supernatural way of living, and it does require supernatural power. And that's why you have been given the Holy Spirit and you have been given a Bible, the two greatest supernatural powers in the world. The Word of God, the Bible says, is alive and powerful, sharper than even a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thought and intents of the heart. And as far as the Holy Spirit goes, our Lord Jesus Christ said many years ago that when he left, he would send us a comforter, that word being a coach or a teacher or a mentor. And that Holy Spirit who mentors you and me lives in us. He is in us. And we are mandated by the Bible in Ephesians 5:18 to be filled with the Spirit. And we have two negative mandates in the Bible. Don't grieve the Spirit and do not quench the Spirit. When we grieve and quench the Spirit, we do so because we commit sin in our lives. All Christians sin. All Christians fail. But not all Christians recover from their failure. You've learned, if you've listened to The Flatline for any length of time, you've learned about problem-solving device number one, and that's rebound. Sin means you've missed the mark. When you're playing basketball and you miss a shot, you rebound, put it back up. In the Christian life, you can rebound your sin. You can get it right. You go to God and you admit it, as in 1 John 1:9. Where the Bible says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. There never is a time in your life when you're not supposed to admit your sin to God. When you know you've committed a sin, go to the Father immediately and admit that sin. And he's always faithful and always just to forgive you and cleanse you from that sin and put you right back in fellowship where you belong. And that's the key to living the Christian life. Without the control of the Holy Spirit, you'll never be able to live the Christian life. You'll always try to do it in the energy of the flesh, and you will frustrate yourself because you'll try to do what's right, and you will inevitably wind up doing what is wrong. Now, today, what I want to talk to you about is something that's very near and very dear to me, because I want to ask you a question. Please consider what I'm about to ask you. Have you ever had a very strange feeling that you were about to die or that something terrible was going to happen to you? Have you ever had that happen before? Maybe today it's happened. Have you? Have you been there before? You know what I'm talking about? Like you're going to die or something terrible. It's just this apprehension inside of you and you don't know where it comes from or what causes it. Well, you need to listen very carefully today. You need to pay attention because we all may be on the verge of losing the most important thing that we have. You see, I want to read to you a quote Let me read to you a quote from a pastor friend of mine. And by the way, if you want to know when this quote was written, it was written in 1972. 1972, you know, that was over 40 years ago. In 1972, listen to this quote. He is a pastor here in the United States of America, and it says, "We have a government backed by a majority of people who are almost totally divorced from reality. Whether it concerns the military, law enforcement, judicial, foreign or domestic policies, crime or drugs. For example, if they are convicted, drug pushers today may get a couple of years of a suspended sentence." Wow, does that sound like what's going on in America even today? Not much has changed, has it? And this man goes on to say the military is being destroyed right before our eyes. Well, I think our current president has just proposed a over $500 billion cut in the military, when for the time we are in the most dangerous time in the history of the world. We're looking at Iran getting nuclear weapons, and they've sworn to destroy Israel. We're looking at a war right now that's on the borders with Israel between the Palestinians and the Jews. We're looking at a lot of things in history. China coming to the front in wealth and military status. Russia regaining the old form under Putin. We're in very dangerous times. And yet what we're doing in America today is we are eliminating the might of the military so that we can continue the entitlement programs to those who need it, supposedly, and to those who may vote for those that give them what they need. We're in big trouble. Big trouble. And maybe you've had the same premonition that I've had, that America is at a crossroads of history. So a lot of people are, and you know, these shows are on TV every day, doomsday preppers and things like this. People preparing for doomsday. Should you do that? I mean, people everywhere are saying, what should we do? Should we organize? Should we go out and buy a ranch somewhere? What's the solution? I mean, they see international chaos, and they see national chaos, even within our own government. They see the military being weakened. They see homeland security being strengthened. They see things that are happening that threaten their very securities and their very freedoms that they've lived for years, and freedoms and security that has been bought and paid for with a price, the blood of wonderful American men and women who gave their life so that we may be free. Is it really being threatened? Is there something wrong with me? Am I seeing things in a warped perspective? Or is it really true that the direction this country is going in is a dead-end street eventually for us? Well, the answers are found in the Word of God. The answers are found in the Bible. You just got to know where to go find them. I mean, come on, God is not a genie. He's not in a bottle. You don't rub the bottle and want God to pop out of the bottle and make all the problems go away. That's not the way it's going to happen. But God does have a plan, and it is a wonderful plan. It's a fabulous plan, and it's our responsibility to find out how that plan operates, how to function in the plan, how we fit into it. And this plan is revealed in the Word of God. This plan is revealed in the Word of God. Therefore, the solution to every disaster we face, the solution to any personal problem or national problem, lies in us knowing what the Word of God says. Because if we don't know it, then how can we adjust? The key is to orient and adjust to history. Orient and adjust to time. What's happening? And if you don't do that, then you're going to be hung out to dry, I promise you. Now, it starts with this. It starts with your faith in God's plan. God has a plan for every member of the human race. That plan starts with Him giving His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a substitute for us, to pay for our sin, to pay the penalty for our sin. So on the cross, God the Father judged the Son. He judged him in our place. He imputed to him all of our sins. And the Bible goes on to say, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You see, at the moment you put your trust in Jesus Christ, you are eternally saved. That thing about whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. In John 3:15, that's true. If you put your faith in Christ, you have everlasting life. You're in the royal family of God. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. And so you have a promise. And that promise, for example, is found in Job. Job made this statement in Job 5:8. Listen to what he said. When everything was going wrong, when Satan had taken away everything that Job had, Job said, "I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause." That's where we start right there. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you must start right here. You would seek unto God. That's an expression of a person who continually wants to know God's word. A person who is continually committed to growing in grace. Not a person who is a temporary fired up Christian. You know, there are a lot of different types of Christians. There's those Christians who have instant inspiration, you know. This sort of person is pretty weak and he's unstable because they talk a great fight. They're temporarily inspired for some reason or another. Maybe they went to church and saw some drama or maybe they had something happen in their life that motivated them to say, "I'm going to get with it." It's sort of like people go to the gym, you know, and they say, "I'm going to get with it. I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to be the person I should be." And then after a month or two, they quit going to the gym. A lot of Christians are like that. They have instant inspiration. They have a revival or they have a set of meetings and they get inspired. And they may even go forward and rededicate their life to the Lord. But pretty soon it all wears off and they're right back to doing the same things they've always done. They got bored or maybe they got offended at something and they just fade out, fade away. You know, there are those that get all fired up when trouble hits, like 911. I saw that happen when 911 occurred. I was in Mississippi speaking and my daughter who lived in New York called me and said, "Dad, do you know what's going on in the city?" And I said, "I don't have an idea, a clue." She said, "Turn on the television. Look, look what's happening." She watched as those planes crashed into those buildings. At least the second one, she saw it. And it was amazing. That night in church, how many people were there. And as I spoke to other friends of mine who were pastors, I'm not a pastor, I was a visiting speaker, but as I spoke to other friends who were pastors, they told me their churches were packed out. Packed out for the next couple of weeks. People were shocked. People were scared. People, they were inspired to go find out what God has to say. What's God letting this happen for? What's it all about? And they wanted God to make all the hurting go away. So they had troubled inspiration. They were fired up for a little bit. But then they faded out as well when things went back to normal and the bills started coming in and the parties started happening. This leads to another type of person we call the instant genie crowd. This is the guy that wants to bribe God to give him something, you know. He wants to make sure God's on his side. I've been around professional athletes who've said, you know, "If God will let me win, I'll give him the credit and I'll even give him 10% of my winnings if he'll let me win." That's a person who's on the verge of some sort of prosperity, and they want God to let them have it. And then if they get it, they lose interest in God real quick because of their distraction. You know, this may be why you've never won the lottery. Maybe you've been one of the many who buy these lottery tickets, and it's not a sin to buy a lottery ticket. I'm not saying that, but I'm telling you this. You got about as much chance of winning that lottery as you do a standing in the middle of a football field on a bright sunny day and getting struck by lightning. And then I've heard it before, "Well, somebody's got to win it." Yeah, sure. And if you won't, go buy your lottery ticket. That's fine. But let me just say this. If God gave you $10 million today, where would you be tomorrow? Would you be out the door? Would you be on your way to the islands? Would you be on your way to the mountains? Would you? You see, if you can't handle what you have now, you can't handle what you don't have. Contentment is the key to life. Being content. And contentment is the key to prosperity. Because if you're content, then the Lord can pour blessings into your life. If you're not content, then regardless of whatever he gives you, you will never be happy. Unhappy people take their unhappiness with them wherever they go. So those sort of people, they don't hang around very long. But then there's the wise crowd. There's the person who knows no matter how they feel, no matter what kind of situations in their life, they must have God's word. You know, the Bible puts it this way, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There's your source of strength. There's your source of power. There's your direction. There's your insight, knowledge, and understanding. It's all in the Word of God. It is there for you. And when you take it into your life, let me explain how it works. It's like we have a darkness inside of us, and when we bring the light into the darkness, the light being the Word of God, when we bring the light into the darkness, then we can shine the light out into the darkness. Have you ever gone outside at night without a flashlight? You can't see very much. Well, see, the Word of God in your soul is like a flashlight into the dark world. You can see what other people don't see. You can see a fallen limb or a rock that may twist your ankle. You can see. You have a light. And the majority of people don't have that light. And so they only go by what other people tell them. But you're going by what the Bible tells you. You see, that's the difference between divine viewpoint and human viewpoint. Divine viewpoint is what God says. Human viewpoint is what some politician tells you. And the problem with that is the Bible says, cursed is the man who puts his trust in man. The objective is to believe what God said. But how can you believe it if you don't know it? And this is where Hosea 4:6 comes in, where God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Since you've rejected knowledge, I'll reject you. You know, it's very hard to find anybody who wants to learn God's word. We're such a quick-paced society today, the happy meal, get it and go. I mean, there are even churches where you have drive-in churches where you get it and go. Very few people want to learn the Bible. I see them riding around with the Bibles in their back window, all sun-parched and dried up. It looks good. Looks like they're really Bible-believing people, but what's in it? They don't know. They don't learn. You know, it's an interesting thing about learning the Bible. The Word of God says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Word of God says, study to show thyself approved unto God, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Over and over and over again, if you read Proverbs, you will find where the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, said, there's great wisdom in knowing God's word. The fool doesn't want to know it. He rejects it. What about you? Do you believe God can do great things, unsearchable and marvelous things without number like Job did in Job 5, verse 9? God can manufacture something out of nothing. He does it. And the confidence that you need, that confidence comes from the Word of God. Do you have a flot line in your soul? We've been talking about the flot line, F-L-O-T, that's the name of the show. The forward line of troops talks about those 10 unique problem-solving devices. If you have those 10 unique problem-solving devices, then you have a basis of confidence. Because you know, number one, Jesus Christ controls history. I'm going to say that one more time. Jesus Christ controls history. You may think, where did you get that in the Bible? Colossians chapter 1. For by him and through him and for him were all things made. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ controls history. And whatever we have going on today, he's well aware of. We may be facing some sort of economic disaster. It's possible. And there are some promises found in the book of Job about that. Job had to use these promises. He had to depend on these promises. In Job 5:19, he will deliver you in six troubles. Even in seven troubles, no evil will even be able to touch you. And I'm telling you, if you are a growing believer in Jesus Christ, if you are putting priority number one, the Word of God in your soul, in spite of the adversity that this nation will face in the future, you will be delivered. You will go through. You will come out the other side. You will be a remnant that God will deliver to continue His Word, make sure that it goes forward. We face trouble. We face economic trouble. We face war, military catastrophe. We face social problems in this land. This nation is divided. I mean, they call it partisanship, but there are two ways of thinking in this nation. It's unbelievable. I mean, there's a lot of people that don't think alike in this nation, and I've heard so much about good old USA is gone, Uncle Sam is gone. I mean, which way is America going to go in the future? I mean, you may be 55, 60, or 70. You may be 20. But it isn't a matter of age. It's a matter of the plan of God. God can protect you. God can deliver you. God can see to it that no disaster meddles in the affairs of your life, that you don't have any danger to your soul. See, that's what it means, to have great confidence, to have great courage, and to be relaxed, to have a relaxed mental attitude in the face of any adversity. Economic disaster, it may come. You may need to go out and buy a bunch of gold. You may need to get a bunch of food. You may need to get a bunch of ammunition. You may need to stock all of it up. I don't know. That's between you and God. But I know where my confidence is. I know where my hope is. I know the one that delivers me today can deliver me tomorrow. And that doesn't mean that I have to neglect to be prepared. That's not what I'm saying. I mean, if a tornado is coming, I'm not going to stand in the front yard and say, God will deliver me. I'm going to go get in the basement where I belong. Hunker down. You know, how do you operate your life every day? What about military catastrophe if that happens? In war, he shall redeem thee from the power of the sword. Job 5:20. Any Christian who goes into combat military service should be able to claim this promise. And this is, right now, the most difficult time in the history of our country. It's a period of great challenge for America. We've been fighting a war on two fronts. And it's not going to go away, folks. We got more wars coming, I promise you. Jesus said there will always be wars and rumors of wars. See that you do not be discouraged. But the Word of God still works in the hearts and the minds of our soldiers, our sailors, our airmen, men and women who serve this country every day. They take great confidence in the Word of God, and how God is aware of their situation. And in time of disaster, He will deliver them. Social catastrophe can happen as well. We could face a race war. We could face political unrest in this nation. In Job 5:21, the Bible says to Job, you will be hid from the scourge of the tongue. The Hebrew says you will hide yourself from the scourge of the tongue. It means that instead of walking around wearing your feelings on your sleeve, you get your thinking straight. You get priority number one, the Word of God. Matthew 6 says, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He'll provide everything you need, all of your logistical support. That's a divine promise. Even if someone wants to run you down or malign you or have unkind things to say about you, you can plod right on, because the Lord will hide you from the scourge of the tongue. It's not a promise just to stop you from being gossiped about or maligned. It's a promise that says you won't need any sympathy or protection from your friends, because you have sort of a impregnable fortress of the Word of God in your soul. You've been down the road to maturity. You've gone through spiritual self-esteem, and now you're hitting spiritual autonomy. And you can stand on your own two feet. You don't have to run to the pastor to ask him, what should I do, preacher? What should I do? If you're a serious student of the Word of God, you'll know what to do. You will know how to avoid pity and bitterness and mental attitude sins that could so easily destroy you. and you will know how to put your confidence in God. In Job 5:21, neither shall you be afraid of destruction when it comes. This means you won't have mental attitude sins of fear in the face of death. That's what it means. You take in the Word of God, you learn the Word of God, you live by the Word of God, and every day you will be stable. Every day you will have a relaxed mental attitude. You will not be afraid of whatever comes down the pipe, even though you may have this premonition that that's it, we're done for, it's all over. Well, it's not. It's just beginning. And what you're going to see down the road will amaze you. If you're not prepared, if you're not serious about your Christian life, if you're not serious about being the man or the woman that God intended for you to be, then you're not going to be able to handle it. The Bible says if you hang with it, if you're serious, stick with the Word of God, you will come to your grave in full age, Job 5:26. It means nothing's going to happen to take you out too soon. God has a perfect plan for your life. You can rest. You can relax. You don't have to be uptight. You don't have to hoard up millions of rounds of ammunition and kill everybody that comes down your driveway. That's not what the Bible's telling you to do. What the Bible's telling you to do is to put your trust in God, to put your trust in His Word, to use it as a shield, and to relax. Let the Lord handle it. He will. He will provide the solution, and He will provide the confidence. He will provide the peace that you need in spite of what you may face in this nation, in spite of what's coming. That's why Job said, "We have searched it, we've heard it, and we know it is good." It is good. It is truth. It is the Word of God. Even though there may be a crisis coming, you don't have to sweat it because of the promises found in the Bible. Are you a Christian? Are you controlled by the Holy Spirit? Are you learning God's Word on a daily basis? We harp about that all the time on this radio show. Then you have nothing to fear. In spite of what you may think, you have nothing to fear. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So welcome to the Ringside Show, because you're about to get it, and it's going to be unbelievable. Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your mind on the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand still and watch God deliver you. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.